Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. Life is not boring when you're the mayor of Kansas City. Fresh off a triumphant re-election campaign, Sly James is wrestling with a single terminal concept at KCI, a downtown convention hotel, up for a vote the next few days, and continuing talk of streetcar expansion. He's also just revealed a picture of the future USS Kansas City on Monday before the Royals game against the Pittsburgh Pirates. To be built in Alabama, the ship is 419 feet long and capable of operating at 40 knots with a crew of 40. Mayor, always good to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you, Steve. It's always good to see you, my friend.
Well, the USS Kansas City, yeah. When did you find out about that?
I kind of got an inkling when it was hush-hush and it was Secretary of the Navy, and yes, I need to be there. It has to do with Kansas City, and I thought, well, I don't think he's going to open up a recruit depot. We have one of those. So I figured it was probably a ship, but it was confirmed a couple of days prior, and it's really neat.
It's neat. Why?
Yeah. Well, you know what? Anytime I hear somebody attaching the name Kansas City to anything,
and you'll buy it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and it's a good deal. Plus, I think it's a kind of ship that kind of reflects Kansas City. It's sleek. It's not huge. It has interchangeable armaments and programs. It's got a well-trained, advanced technological platform and crew. And it guards the coastal waters. And as I said at the game, I think it's exactly the type of ship that we need to hunt pirates.
They named it after Kansas City. Why? Is this a new sort of pattern the Navy has? Or?
Well, I'm not sure, but sometimes they name different types of ships after different types of things. And so the secretary told me that he had been, before the All-Star game, naming the Cincinnati, and that he had been to Detroit naming the Detroit, and that he had named one the Little Rock as well. So We're in that mix, and they're all the same types of ship. So perhaps it's a matter of these types of ships will be named after cities. And this is a governor who had been governor down in Arkansas, and has some familiarity with Kansas City, and he's a heck of a baseball fan, so maybe all those things had something to do with it.
Now, you're sure the ship is named after Kansas City, Missouri, and not Kansas City, Kansas?
I was the only Kansas City mayor there, so I'm going to take full ownership of it, and if Mayor Holland needs a ride somewhere, we might drop him off.
The ship would be ready to go when? When's it up and running?
You know, I'm not really sure, but it's not fully built yet.
Okay. Well, let's turn to the convention hotel. You and the council are on the brink of a vote on this thing, and you get the sense that the convention hotel's on the brink of passage. But on Monday, we had a spirited debate on this show over this hotel. Let's walk through a few of the key arguments here. The one you hear a lot is that, you know, a lot of cities are expanding their convention centers. They're building new convention hotels. Everybody's arming up so nobody can get ahead and actually get more convention business. What about that, Mayor?
Well, I don't know that that's necessarily been borne out by the history of other cities. I think everybody is trying to find, every city that's smart, is trying to find ways of increasing their non-tax revenue. This is one area for them to do it, and certainly one area for us to do it. But the truth of the matter is, we have not been competing because we do not have the ability to bring in the conventions that we've had in the past. We've lost Walmart. We've lost Skills USA. We've lost the FFA. Mm-hmm. We've lost all sorts of things, and it's been because we have not had a good lodging package. So if we want to continue to try to maximize our revenue, which is important because we have increasing needs being placed on the budget and very little room to continue expand that budget to meet those needs. So I think that it's worth doing. But Dallas built a hotel in 2011. Their occupancy rate is up 18%, and their average daily rate of rental is up 8%. JW Marriott did it in 2011. Up 13% and 13%. Nashville in 2013, up 11%, up 19%. And I know that you can find cities that aren't doing that.
I was going to say, Haywood Sanders was in here just the other day saying that a lot of cities, you know, did these things and actually saw drop-offs in business.
Well, Haywood Sanders has made a very good living and a very big reputation on taking his position. And I know from my time as a trial lawyer that you can find an expert that will pretty much back you up on whatever theory you want to press.
Yeah.
And he's certainly entitled to his.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, I don't care how you slice it, dice it, or look at it. We haven't built a new hotel in this city since 1985. And since that time, since 1985, we built the Sprint Center, the Power and Light District, redid Union Station. The World War I Museum is different, 18th and Vine. The Crossroads weren't there. Family vacation attractions at Crown Center weren't there.
Yeah.
River Market wasn't what it was. We didn't have a streetcar. We didn't have the college basketball experience. And I don't know if we had the Big 12 tournament, but I know that it's important if we want to keep it that we start doing the things that we need to do.
You know, writing in the Star this week, Mayor, my colleague Dave Helling says he wouldn't be surprised if the hotel struggles for a while, which will force operators to come back to the city to seek more aid down the road. How likely is that in your view? And bottom line, how confident are you this thing's going to succeed?
Well, all I can do is tell you that we looked at hotel packages and deals for all 4 years that I've been in office, and they started looking at them before I showed up.
Yeah.
This one has been debated, kicked around, tossed about, tweaked for the last 2 years or so, and I've had a very strict set of criteria. That criteria was no money from the general fund, no obligation on the city to have any debt, no obligation on the city to be on the hook for any cost overruns or any financial difficulties that the developers get into. So from my perspective, that's what I'm going to stick to. That's why it's taken so long, and that's why this is a good deal, because they met those criteria. So really, it's going to come down to the paperwork as to what happens. But I'm also very much aware that I'm not going to be here on the council or in the mayor's office during the next 30 years. So if some other council gets weak in the knees and decides to do something different, then that's what they'll do. But the bottom line is that the deal is being set up to avoid exactly that.
Couple of questions about this deal. Why the exclusive catering agreement part of the arrangement here? That stirred up a lot of debate.
Yeah, it did. And I'm sorry about that. And it was something that, frankly, I know that Troy and some of the folks on the administrative side, city manager, are a little more familiar with than I am, simply because of their longevity in the office. But it's also my understanding that the arrangement that we have currently is not the arrangement that most cities have. It's kind of fragmented, hard to manage, those types of things. Plus, we don't really get much of anything out of that. The caterers do quite well, but the city doesn't. The other thing, too, is that...
So you want a piece of that pie is what you're suggesting.
There is a piece of the pie that is available, but most importantly, it was important that we find every conceivable revenue stream for the developers so that the city wasn't on the hook for that. That's kind of the beauty of this. We're not on the hook for anything. Everything that happens on that piece of property is going to be generated by and maintained within that system so that they can do this without a hook for the $100 million, $150 million that every other hotel operator and developer was wanting us to be on the hook for.
Yeah. The Memorandum of Understanding, Mayor, says the city will continue to maintain and operate the convention center with a future goal of making reasonable improvements based on the success of the project and citywide conventions. That's a quote. Is the city committing itself to future expansion of Bartle Hall here?
I don't think it's committing to future expansion. It's committing to future renovations. For example, the kitchen at the convention center has long been in need of a serious upgrade. The roof at the convention center has long been in need of a serious upgrade, and we're finally taking care of that. I think that's what it's really meant to be. An expansion of Bartle Hall or the convention center would be a monumental task under the circumstances that require a whole different income stream that we currently do not have.
So are you leaving the door open to put the city on the hook for expansion or improvements there that might be cost prohibitive?
Well, I can't say, because that's not been something that we've ever discussed, expanding the convention center. So without having discussed that at all, I can't tell you that it will never happen, but I can tell you that it's not something that we've talked about or even contemplated. The renovations that we're talking about are about the systems that are currently in place mm-hmm. that need to be maintained and in some instances upgraded. Just like if you have a house, you know, you'd like to have an oven in your kitchen, maybe a refrigerator, and every now and then those things go out. You need to replace them and do something different. That's the type of stuff that we're talking about, is to maintain the quality of the convention center so that that doesn't become like a bad back yeah. porch that we don't want people to go out.
I'm visiting with Kansas City, Missouri Mayor Sly James about the proposed downtown convention hotel. How hard is the city going to work, Mayor, to get jobs for, you know, job seekers from the most economically troubled areas of the city, both during construction and once the convention hotel is up and operating?
Harder than we've ever worked before.
Mm-hmm.
That's a commitment. It is absolutely vital. Now, I do want to be fair to everybody and say that we can't just start setting quotas and those types of things. That's not only illegal, it's unwise. But every time that we have an opportunity to do something like this, and especially since we're doing it with a local developer and attorney, we have a unique opportunity to take advantage of that relationship to do something that really does turn the tide and make jobs available to people who might otherwise not have them.
Just one final point here about the memorandum of understanding. Most of the bargaining points in the agreement are in the non-binding provisions part. Does that mean any of those, including the catering agreement, can be, you know, renegotiated before the final transaction gets made here?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, well, I don't know about all of them. Some of them are more likely to be renegotiated than others. But the catering thing is not, I don't think that the catering situation right now is the same as it was originally, because there have been, to my knowledge, some possible discussions between the developers and potential caterers where there might be some give there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that you hear as vociferous of a pushback as you did before, which might be an indication that those negotiations are being relatively helpful mm-hmm. and fruitful.
Final thing, the cost has gone up about $9 million bucks.
Mm-hmm.
What about it? Are we going to see more cost increases here?
Well, I don't know. That's up to them. And frankly, again, that's not our problem.
It's on their back.
That's their back.
Okay.
Here's my basic position on this. We've made a deal. We've said what we're going to put in. We've identified the source of the funds. We know exactly what we're getting ourselves into. I'm not agreeable to any changes in that. And if the cost goes up and goes up and goes up, that's on them. And if it goes up too high and it doesn't get built, it doesn't get built. That's just the way it is. The parameters that I've set are the ones that we're going to adhere to.
Mayor James is in the house. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Again, 816-235-2888, or tweet us at KCUR up to date. We're talking about the Downtown Convention Hotel, KCI, police staffing, and a whole bunch more here this morning on Up to Date. We have a tweet here from Mark Peavy, who writes this, Mayor, please ask the mayor if he'll be attending the library's public forum on the new hotel. I think it's tomorrow evening at the public library. What about that?
Nope.
No. Not going there.
Nope. Well, tomorrow evening is the last council meeting of this council. We have dinner plans with the outgoing council members. I have to go meet a prospective convention who wants to talk about bringing their convention back to town now.
Yeah.
So I have work to do, and I'm not interested in going to hear someone without any response, without any balance, just say whatever they want to say. I can pretty much figure it out. I've read his stuff.
Yeah.
I won't hear anything any different. And I know myself, and I might be inclined to jump up and say, hey, wait a minute, aren't you associated with the Show Me Institute with Rex Singfeld? And didn't Rex Singfeld have a lot to do with the Kansas tax situation? And how's that working out?
Yeah.
So why should we listen? So you know what? I have no problem with people having legitimate points of debate, but I don't like people who lecture from one point
yeah.
of view, and I don't particularly like people who put out false information. So I think I'll stay away.
And I misspoke. Haywood Sanders is speaking tonight at the Kansas City, Missouri Public Library. Okay, let's move on to a different topic here. When will that hotel open up under a best-case scenario, Mayor?
2018, I'm not sure.
So we're 3 years down the road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we hit the markers,
yeah,
you know, then it's 3 years down the road.
Okay. Let's go to KCI. Lots of news coverage of the consultants' report in the paper today and elsewhere. The airlines and a consultant say the future of the airport is a single terminal. You've been suggesting that for that possibility for a while now. So is this where we're going?
Well,
is the die been cast here?
I'm going to wait for the final numbers, but it's not lost on me that the task force that I ask of citizens who were involved, who had hearings, who had focus groups all around town, they had meetings where the public came in and made their position known, came to exactly the same conclusion. But it wasn't like that was accepted because somehow or another people thought that I was Machiavelli and manipulating all of this. Well, now we get something that I've not participated in at all. They don't let me into the meetings. Council's not involved. This is all airline and airport experts who have looked at all of this. And they know what they need, and they're projecting out what number of gates they're going to need, mm-hmm. how much it's going to cost, and how you take what we've got in this horseshoe shape, which is 72 feet from the front to end, and turn it into something that's more functional for their purposes. And they're costing it out and doing those things, and they've changed their minds from, hey, we might be able to do a renovation or a major renovation as opposed to new. And now they're saying, hey, we don't think we can do a major renovation without it costing a heck of a lot more than a new one.
Yeah.
And the reason is that there's enough space, but it's all in the wrong place. It's like moving into a house where half of your house space is in your bathroom and you have no bedroom closets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got the right space, but it's in the wrong places. They're going to have to do something about that. And not only that, it's hard to retrofit. We spent $250 million on renovating it not that long ago. That's about $400 million in today's dollars. So do we want to keep spending chunks of $250 million to retrofit something and get a less than optimal
yeah.
result? Or do we want to do what's necessary to modernize our facilities and assets and do the right thing?
I just bought a new transmission for my son's 1998 Honda Civic, and I was wondering whether that was the right move or not, Mayor. I'm not sure whether it was or not.
We'll know in a year.
We'll know in a year. That's absolutely right. Mayor Sly James is in the house. KCI is on the table. Just one thing about KCI before I go to some phone calls.
Sure.
Here. The taxpayers of Kansas City are on the hook for how much
Nothing.
When it comes to rebuilding this airport?
Nothing.
Explain that.
Because it's a closed loop. All the money that is used for airports and airport operations is generated by the airport and airport operations.
When you buy a ticket to fly somewhere, you're paying a fee that will be used to help rebuild this thing.
You already pay a fee for it.
Right.
Whether or not that fee goes up or not, it won't go up very far because there's a cap on how much it is. I think it's like a cap of $5, and we're like at $1.15 or something. We're at the very bottom. That might go up. Parking is certainly part of it. Concessions are part of it. And it wasn't. It's also worthy of mention that Moody's gave the airport bond rating an increase and a higher rating and said in their report that the airport was hampered to some extent on financial flexibility because of the lack of concession and that type of money that flows into it. So, you know, all of these things we've said in the past, and now that I think that the experts, the airport people, the airline people are saying the same thing, maybe it has more credibility. But we were talking about these issues 2 years ago.
Yeah.
They haven't changed.
Lots of questions for Mayor Sly James, who's sitting right in front of me here. Greg from Kansas City, Missouri. Greg, you're on Up to Date.
Regarding the downtown hotel project, most of the projections independently done, that is not by consultants, whether it's Haywood or the hotel city consultants, are really pessimistic about the downtown convention hotel business. And part of that helling nail with the improvements in technology, we're going to see rises in travel costs. And I guess my question is, there's a gross oversupply. It's like a war between markets. There's way more supply than there is demand, and the demand is projected to continue to decrease. So that's an issue. The other issue, if you really look carefully at the impact of other hotel people when we have a city that already has comparatively low occupancy rates, plus no ocean, plus no mountains, plus no legalized gambling, plus no New Orleans.
We have legalized gambling.
Yeah, it's different than Vegas.
Yeah. Mayor, what about the again, this notion of more supply than demand and maybe the concern about low occupancy rates here?
Well, our numbers keep going up, you know, and when we look at the conventions that have already pledged, our numbers are going up, not down. The other thing, too, is historically with the other cities who have built hotels in the last 10 years, their average daily rates are going up, not down. Ours are extremely low and artificially low. It's kind of like Uber. If you get into an Uber X, yeah, you're going to be able to go to where you want to go, but it's kind of at the lower end of their scale. Now, if you get into the Uber black car, you're going to pay more for it, yeah, and happy to do it. We have to recognize that regardless of whether or not you want to look at conventions or not, we haven't built a new hotel product in the city since 1985. If you remember, that's when the Royals won the World Series. That's the only time they've won the World Series since they've been here.
Yeah,
and that's been quite some time ago. So we have to update and modernize our stock. On the other hand, we are more ideally located for convention business in a lot of places because we're in the middle of the country. You can get to here from just about any place in the country in 3 hours. We've got a lower cost of living. People absolutely love it. I talk to people who want to do conventions all the time. They're not telling me that they're cutting back on their conventions. They're telling me that we don't have enough hotel rooms for them to come, but they'd love to be here if we did.
Yeah.
I hear that all the time. So, you know, numbers can say a lot of different things, but the fact of the matter is, if we're going to compete, we need to invest. And I'm all about competing because I think this city competes well with just about any place in this country.
Carolyn from Kansas City, Missouri, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Mayor James.
Good morning.
I was in the hospitality industry just a few years ago, and there was a survey done among those that hold conventions, and Kansas City got rated as the third least desirable place to hold a convention. As far as building new hotels, it appears to be build it and they will come. I think there's more of a problem in attracting business here than just lack of hotel spaces. Kansas City lost much of its music and entertainment venues that were here before they stripped and built for the freeway. They cleaned out the music that Kansas City was renowned for. And when it comes to conventions, we're competing with Las Vegas, Orlando,
yeah,
New York, and other cities. And I was away from the area for a long time. I came back and found that all there was primarily in Kansas City were the casinos and all-you-can-eat restaurants. So you can get broken fat real quick. And this is not what people are looking for when it comes to conventions. I think we need more entertainment venues, and we need more of the attractions that will invite, conventions here before we start building more hotels.
Right. Carolyn, I appreciate that. And that was one of Hayward Sanders' points, not to bring that name up again, but one of his points was instead of investing in the hotel, invest in attractions to bring more people to town.
Really? Seriously? We don't have enough music in this city. I'd love to see music on every street corner, but I can tell you I go to Broadway Jazz, I go to the River Market, I go to the gym, I go to the Blue Room, I go to BB's Lawnside Barbecue. I've taken people from conventions to those places, and they absolutely love it. The Republican National Convention Committee that tours just about wherever the heck they want and gets the red carpet rolled out, love this city. They weren't going to the casinos and having all-night eating contests. They were at the Kauffman Center for the Performing Arts. They were at Sporting Innovations 360. Mm-hmm. They were at the Power and Light shaking their booties to country and Western music. They were at restaurants eating. I took them out to to listen to music. And I don't know where Carolyn is hanging out, but there's a there's a heck of a lot more stuff going on here than casinos and all-you-can-eat restaurants. However, if you can send me a list of the all-you-can-eat restaurants, I'd like that, because that's kind of a place where I wouldn't mind hanging out a little bit.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our good conversation here with Mayor Sly James. We'll continue our conversation about KCI. We'll talk about police department staffing, La Raza, streetcars, and a whole bunch more. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. And we're back. I'm Steve Kraske. If you missed our conversation about how social media has affected cosmetic surgery and the culture surrounding that, you can find that at kcur.org. And the mayor's shaking his hands. Thinking about cosmetic surgery?
No, social media.
Yes.
Yeah. It's less painful.
Yeah. Tomorrow on the show, the forensic anthropologist behind the TV show Bones joins us. Plus, we visit with performers from this year's KC Fringe Fest. As I mentioned, Kansas City, Missouri Mayor Sly James is in the house here. We were talking about the Downtown Convention Hotel. Let's go back to some phone calls about that. Fred from Brookside. Fred, you're on with the mayor. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve and Mayor. My understanding is that the potential problem for Kansas City, Missouri taxpayers is the catering deal, that Hyatt would be paid $2 million starting now and over the next 15 years. It would be guaranteed that amount, and up to $5 million a year in year 15, so that if the whole thing didn't flourish as hoped for, that the Kansas City taxpayers would be on the hook for any potential deficit.
No money from the general fund. That's the way the deal is structured. And the money from the catering is what they have to generate.
Makes sense, Fred?
I can go with it, Steve.
Okay. Thanks, Fred. Appreciate
all right.
That.
Thanks.
Let's go to Jen from Kansas City, Missouri. Jen, you're on the air.
Hi, I really appreciate you guys letting me on. I do have a question for Mayor Sly James. With the departure of Greg Carroll with the American Jazz Museum,
yeah,
and the announcement of Harlan Brownlee's resignation of Arts KC the end of this month, could you tell me what the city's plan is on marketing jazz as a tourism point for Kansas City? I mean, I know you had mentioned earlier the folks from the Republican Convention seem to really take a liking to some of aspects of our entertainment district. So,
yeah.
I mean, with these changes occurring, what is the city's plans for marketing jazz as a tourism point?
Well, the first thing is to replace Greg Carroll, and that's a nationwide search. And we'll find the best person who is able to take the Jazz Museum from and the Blue Room from what it is now, and bring it up to what we hope it should be. The Gym Theater, for example, very sparse bookings. We want to make those bookings at least a third of the year, maybe more. It's a beautiful theater. It's great for small jazz concerts and other forms of concerts, and we want to book that and make it start paying off. We want to upgrade the Jazz Museum, and we want somebody who knows how to do museum work, who has love of jazz. So
a hard person to find, isn't it?
Well, it is, but you know what? The bottom line is there aren't that many jazz museums either.
Yeah.
So this is a gem. This is a plum. And somebody who has a liking for museums experience in operating museums and loves music, this is a perfect job. I don't think we will lack for candidates. I think the trick will be finding the best candidate. As for Harlan, Harlan's been doing his thing for a long time. If he wants to step down and go shake it someplace else, that's all cool. But, there's a process, and that's an internal process to that organization, not us. But we'll be marketing as much as we possibly can, and the city's involvement in 18th and Vine is increasing, and we're going to keep it that way.
On line one, Steve Glorioso, the longtime political consultant. Steve, good morning.
Hi, I wanted to get over to the airport, which I think is, I know you were trying to get to it before.
Well, take 29 and you drive north, Steve.
I needed that, Mayor, because I don't know how to do GPS. I got my grandson next to me. Maybe he'll show Yeah, and, you know, I obviously heard the callers, and many of them are fellow travelers of the Show Me Institute. But here's my question, Mayor. There's a constant reference in both the airlines thing and
you're breaking up, Steve.
Yeah, Steve, you're going to have to call back. We can't make you out here. You know, the other big surprise out of the consultant's report about KCI, going back to that topic, Mayor,
yeah,
was that the airlines themselves signaled support for the new terminal. How surprised were you by that?
You know, I looked at it from the standpoint, the one thing I expected the airlines to do is to find the cheapest, best product they could.
Yeah.
And the fact that that's the way that they appear to be headed is an indication to me that they're pretty serious about the cost differential between a renovation and a single terminal. The other thing, too, is that I don't care how you slice it or dice it. If you still use the two-terminal situation and you have any sort of central check-in, central baggage security, or any of the things that they absolutely want in order to achieve efficiencies and keep costs down, the convenience factor, I think, will be lost.
Yeah.
Because you could wind up walking from one end of that horseshoe to the end of another horseshoe to get where you want to go. That's not convenience. And, you know, it's one of those things. Do you try to fit the new stuff into your old house, even though it doesn't lay out right? Or do you go out and get a house that lays out the way that you really want it to? And I think that's the way they're headed.
You know, having said all that, I mean, this is kind of a moment in this town. There's such great affection in Kansas City for the horseshoes and the convenience of the horseshoes up there. And here we are walking away from, I guess in some ways you can call it one of those iconic symbols of Kansas City, if you will, and we're saying goodbye, or at least we're on the brink of that.
Yeah, I guess that's true, but I think that's true of a lot of different things. Some things simply don't work as well as they were intended when they were originally built. I have sentimental bones in my body, but the bottom line is that I'm looking at the best interests of this city, not just today. I'm looking at what's in the best interest of this city for the next 40 years. And I don't think that anybody can seriously argue that the current configuration in its current form,
yeah,
is going to survive for the next 40 years for this city. One of the things that impressed me was when the Republican advance guard came in, one of the first things they said to me was, you know, Mayor, there's probably nothing you can do physically to your airport if we have the convention here, but you got to do something.
Yeah. Let's try Steve Glorioso again on line one here. Steve, good morning.
Thank you, Steve. I'm very sorry. About the airport, my question is, there's constant references by the airlines and the city aviation to security issues. I mean, what really are the security issues? I flew in again last night. I travel all over the world. It does strike me that you can drive a car within 50 yards of an airplane. Is that one of the big concerns?
Well,
you know,
I think
what I mean by drive a car loaded with the God knows what.
Well, yeah, that's certainly one issue. Keeping in mind that the airport structure itself, from the front door to the back wall, is 72 feet wide. So add another, I don't know, 25 feet for the curbing, and you're 100 feet away from a plane with no real way to stop it. There's not like a security checkpoint when you drive cars up. But, you know, I don't want to get into those types of conspiracy or desperation type things. The security things that I think they're talking about is that this airport is not very well suited for some of the new security apparatuses that are coming online. It is not very well suited for pre-check and those types of things because of the layout.
Mm-hmm.
And there are times, and you know what? On a Monday morning headed to D.C., you better get there early, because if you wind up in the line that stretches around the horizon, you may very well miss that plane because of the security chokehold and choke points that there are. So bottom line is that they're the ones who evaluate this. They evaluate it by international criteria and standards. And another security issue that they talked about and didn't really bring out, but I know that's a part of their configuration, is one of the issues regarding international flights is how much longer it takes to get through customs and everything at Kansas City than it does elsewhere. And airlines are saying, I don't want to put our passengers through that, so we're not going to fly there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Diana Lambden Meyer writes on Facebook, tell him I'm ready for a new KCI. I fly once or twice a month, and despite the convenience for us locals, the interior just doesn't work any longer. Okay, let's move on to the police department, Mayor. Kansas City's police union is saying the department is understaffed. They point out there are 80 fewer officers today compared to last year, and the union chief is concerned about the safety of the officers on the force. What about it?
I take my cues from the chief of police and his staff and the board of police commissioners, and I appreciate the union chief's position. On the other hand, he needs to appreciate ours. We do not have an unlimited pool of money. They have 40-something percent of our general fund. Public safety constitutes over 72% of our general fund, and that's an important thing. Because the general fund is all the money that we really have to do anything, and it's about $520,000. The police budget this year was $231 million, $28, $29 million more than last year. Some of that went to rising and increased pension costs. We are fully funding the pension. And the bottom line is that this is no different than any other city.
You want the Fraternal Order of Police to begin making some concessions on pensions, if I understand your position correctly.
They've made some concessions, and I give them credit for it. But the concessions that they've made take place down the road and in the future. And we're paying more money in pension costs this year and last year than we did in the previous years, and it's a dramatic increase. There's simply not enough money to do everything. And they, like we, have to make some choices. We made choices in the city and the city staff, and if you ask around, we're working about as lean as we can possibly work. Our people don't get raises very often. They don't get hired very often. We're on a hiring and salary freeze this year for everybody. We lay off people every single year in the city. Police department doesn't. They've got a civilian staff that is pretty big, mm-hmm. considering. There's duplication of efforts, although I give Chief Forte an absolute A-plus with stars for being willing and able and having collaborated with to combine, like, IT. We have
Which has been a long time coming with that department in City Hall, right?
Absolutely. And for doing things like combining with the city on fuel so that we get fuel purchases at a much lower rate, all of those things. So the chief gets it. He understands. We talk about it every Tuesday when we have breakfast, that we have to do the best we can with what we've got, and that's across the board.
But 80 officers, Mayor, some folks might say, you know, in a city as big as this and as crime-ridden as this one has been for so many years, that's a lot of officers.
Well, the crime is going down.
Yeah.
And the collaboration with KC Nova has brought homicides down to its lowest point in 42 years. And, you know, and one of the reasons why that happened was because the chief was smart enough and dedicated enough to restructure the police department so it wasn't a bunch of silos. Yeah. And now they're working across boards and when they're working in collaboration with others. There is no institution in this country recently that has not had to find a way to do more with less. So I think that some time and effort might be given to how do we make do with what we've got before we start saying that we can't. Because the fact of the matter is, we don't have unlimited pockets. We have streets, roads, neighborhoods, and all sorts of things that have to be done. Yeah. When we present our budget and our five-year plan to citizens, they say, cut public safety so that we can get better sidewalks and things like that. Hmm. We've not done that. We've not done that. They have more money this year in the budget than last.
You know, you've been outspoken about the need for stronger gun control, but you haven't gotten any help on that front from lawmakers in Jeff City. How frustrated are you by that, Mayor?
Well, you know, I'm very frustrated by it because to me it's so obvious mm-hmm. that when you lead the entire world by 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 times in the number of people killed by guns, that maybe you ought to not have guns in everybody's hands, especially when you consider that a third of those deaths every year are accidental. Kids picking up guns and killing themselves, kids finding a gun in somebody's house and killing a friend, or somebody playing with a gun or cleaning a gun, it goes off and blows their head off. You know what? People can have guns for safety, protection, and hunting. That doesn't mean that everybody ought to have access to a gun. That doesn't mean that we ought to have 19-year-olds who can legally conceal carry and open carry while they're illegally drunk.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, common sense needs to prevail somewhere here. And that's not common sense to basically say anybody who wants a gun, whatever kind of gun, can have one.
So if it's so commonsensical, why can't you get it?
Because it's a political, ideological football. That's why.
The NRA's involved.
The NRA's involved. They're very liberal with their money, and they have a lot of people in politics scared to death that if you stand up and say what you really should say, that you'll be voted out of office. But then again, it's not just the NRA. Unfortunately, our political system is so filled with money now, so corrupted by special interests, that it's hard to get people in politics to do anything for real people and solve real problems.
Yeah. I should point out the number of homicides in town so far this year, we're at 40 compared to 39 at this point last year, which was a very good year for homicides. This all compares to 54 in 2013, so down considerably from a couple of years ago. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Mayor Sly James is in the house. Let's go to Cecilia from Kansas City, Missouri. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve, and good morning, Mayor.
Good morning.
My comment and question is, you spoke for our charitable organization, Reconciliation Services, about 3 years ago. David Oshel was our director,
mm-hmm.
and you took a very active role, and, you know, we appreciate your participation. But it brought up a question for me. I know you get many invitations, and you're probably pulled here and there. How do you make the determination where you will speak, where you will appear? I mean, you've got to have a crazy schedule. I can't
I think that's
imagine.
Fair to say, Cecilia. Yeah.
Well, I happen to be blessed with a very good scheduler, and she has put in a system of screening things. But we sit down. I'll walk by. Actually, I try to sneak by because I know that if I don't, she's going to grab me, and she's going to sit me in a chair and pull out a folder and say, okay, so here are all of the invitations for the next 3 weeks or month or whatever, and frankly, sometimes a lot further than that, and we go through them. Yes, no, what else is on that day? Well, what does that put me in conflict with? What are the other options? And it's not uncommon, and we did it just a couple of days ago, where on one day we had like 10 things, and they were all within like 2 or 3 hours of each other. So what we try to do is, I'm a sucker for kids. I am a sucker for things that I think have impact. I try to accommodate people who are new to the city or groups that are coming into the city and want me to come and welcome them because I think it's important that they know that their presence in the city is on my radar and I want to make sure that they come back. I have a number of static meetings that I absolutely have to attend. We work around those. I try to be open to kids groups, business groups, some religious groups. I just, you know, it's kind of a what makes sense for this particular day, time, and circumstance type thing. I try to get around to as many places as I can. Plus, then you also have to remember that I need to be careful about being up north because, you know, every time I go up north, they appreciate that. But I also need to be out south, and then I need to be on the east side. So I need to pay attention to black and white, gay and straight, rich and poor, young and old, a business and non-business, charitable, and I just try to make sure that we're trying to cover as many bases. Now, my scheduler will tell you that both she and I are nuts and that she wants me to cut back, and I continue to thwart her. And then when I get to those days where I'm really busy, I say, whose idea was that? And she tells me it was yours, and I have to be quiet.
Yeah, I get that. A couple of topics I wanted to get to, important topics in the city, Mayor. When can we expect a push to expand the streetcar system, a second push here? You obviously want a more expansive system What are you looking at here?
I'm going to let – there are a number of people who are very interested in that topic, and I'll just say what I've told them. Let's get this one up and running so that we can show people, particularly all those who have doubted us and have made untrue statements about it, that we will be on time, we will be on budget, and we will be good. And then I think it will take care of itself. There are a number of people who are very interested in expansion. They're kind of chomping at the bit.
But you want to get the first. You want the first leg up and going.
I want them.
Which will be early next year, I think.
I want to see how much fun it is for all the people coming in for the Big 12 tournament, the NAIA tournament, and the is it Big Sky that UMKC is in?
Yeah. I'm not sure it's that one. It's a different one.
Pack something.
I don't know. Yeah.
It's not Pac-10.
No, it's not that one.
Yeah. WAC, Western
WAC,
Athletic.
That's WAC. Thanks. Yeah.
When they're all in town, I want to see what happens there. I want to see the circulation. I want to be able to gauge what's happening to the coffers of the restaurants that might ordinarily not be as positively impacted on the extremes of the downtown loop like the ones in the middle by the hotels are.
The most obvious expansion is going south along Main out to the plaza?
That seems to be the one that people are most clamoring for, and it's also the most logical. Plus, it's the one that's probably going to be easiest to pay for itself.
Okay, Kelly emailed us this, Mayor. The infrastructure for residents needs to also be attended to, and particularly our public school system. The lack of attention to have high school options will continue to have a negative effect on Kansas City. Families need choices, public, safe, and successful options for their kids all the way through 12th grade. If families stay put rather than move across the state line, the impact will stabilize and grow our tax base.
Can't argue with any of that.
Yeah.
I've been very vocal about my positions on education, particularly third grade reading, will continue to be. I was a very big proponent of high school options with the proposal that there be a collaborative effort between Southwest and Academy Lafayette. Unfortunately, politics and a lot of other issues got involved in there, and I'm not sure that'll happen. I will continue to be an outspoken pusher of educational things, particularly high school, because I think parents can find some really good grade schools.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the struggles start when you get into middle school heading to high school, because I ask people all the time, if you're going to send your kids to a public high school in Kansas City, where are you sending them? And they all say Lincoln Prep. Well, my thing is, everybody can't go to Lincoln Prep.
Yeah.
So what do you do then? Okay, mm-hmm. So there needs to be more options. And, you know, frankly, and there's another thing that I will say to folks, Kansas City has 15 school districts in whole or in part, so there's already a bunch of options. They're just not all options in the same place. You might have to go a little differently. But we have some outstanding schools in this city. They're just not in the same place.
Michael DePriest McGrath writes me on Facebook, Mayor, I would like to know if any safeguards are being put in place so that we don't have another accident like JJ's last year, a result of workmen not doing their own research into what they're digging into.
Well, I can't really answer that. I know that we have standards and things that we have in place as a city, and some of those things may not – well, I don't want to talk about something that's in litigation, mm-hmm. but – the one thing that I can tell you works very effectively for those types of things is litigation. If there's somebody gets hit with a huge judgment, they will put some safeguards in place to not do it anymore. But the situation that occurred in JJ's is a situation over which the city has some regulatory impact, but we are largely dependent on making sure that we work with our partners to make sure that those things don't happen. And thank God that was something that it's rare in this city. At least I hope so.
Mayor, just briefly, you have a new city council coming into office in just a few days, a whole new crew. To what extent have you been reaching out to them, getting them acclimated? Big adjustment for you coming up here.
Yeah, and they're acclimating now. They're doing things with visits to city departments, orientations. We have a retreat coming up. We have a bus tour coming up. I still have to assign and work with committees. I plan to meet with all the committee chairs and vice chairs to make sure that we start off with an understanding of how they see their position and what they want to accomplish and how we can do that together. And then we're just going to start hitting it. and start seeing what we can do. You know, it's nice to have new faces. I wish we didn't have so many. It is difficult to integrate nine people into a 12-person council.
Yes, it is. Mayor, it's always a pleasure to have you here. Thanks for taking the time.
Always my
pleasure.
Come
back soon, okay?
Happy to.